Well, would you turn with me to Exodus chapter 20? We're going to be in verse 8 this morning. And we're in the middle of this series going through and looking at the Ten Commandments. And today we're going to be looking at the fourth commandment. And we've been seeing that as we've been looking at these commandments, that they are actually way deeper than they appear on the surface. Like we see something there that is just really speaks to us and hits us. And so we're going to continue to look at these. We're in the fourth of them right now. And in his medical practice, Dr. Richard Swenson sees a steady stream of hurting people who come into his office. And he claims that a majority of them suffer from this chronic ailment, which has reached epidemic levels in our country, he says. You know what it is? The disease that Dr. Swenson is so concerned about is what he calls a lack of margin. And margin is that space that once existed between us and our limits, like as far as we can go. It's something held in reserve for contingencies or for unanticipated situations that happen and hardships and crazy things that happen. And he says, as a society, we've forgotten what the margin is. In the push for progress, margin has been devoured. We are overloaded in our lives. And Swenson describes the results of this kind of living this way. He says, we feel distressed in ill-defined ways. We're besieged by anxiety and stress and fatigue. And so our relationships suffer. We have unexplained aches and pains. The flood of daily events seem beyond our control. Does that sound familiar to anybody today? Now, how different, though, does Jesus' words from John chapter 10 sound to us, right? Because Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And so today we're going to look at what it means to really experience God. Do you really want to know Him? Do you really want to experience Him in your life? That's what we're going to be looking at today. And really our biggest temptation in our lives isn't things like lust and coveting and stealing, and those are temptations, and we can struggle with those things, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome those things. But our real temptation, the biggest threat to our spiritual lives, is really busyness and hurry. They are the biggest threats. Busyness and hurry. And many of us live a lives that are so frantic, there's multitasking, there's constant clutter everywhere, there's relational shallowness. We don't really have any deep connections either. And that's what dominates our lives. That's what we see in our lifestyle. And we're running from one thing to another, and many of us are sleep deprived, and we have constant stimulus overload from our phones and tablets and every kind of device, every which and where and where and way, and they're all over the place. And this is how so many of us live our lives, with all these things happening. But is this the way to live? It's really no way to live. And what God has done is He's given us the opportunity to rest and find rest in our lives. And this rest or this peace that God has for us all is called the Sabbath. And that's what the fourth commandment is. Oops, I guess I missed that one. Exodus 20, verse 8. I don't have it up on the screen. You can read it if you have it in your Bibles, or you can just listen as I read it. But Exodus 20, verse 8 tells us to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. It tells us here to keep the Sabbath holy. And we're to keep it holy because God made it holy. Holy has this idea of being consecrated or being set apart. And so we set this day apart. And so God is saying to us here, I'm taking this day, the Sabbath day, and I'm setting it aside. And so there'll be no performance deadlines, there'll be no rush, no frantic day, but a day of rest. Just rest. Now, did God give this command because he hates work? He's against work? No. From the very beginning, you know, from Adam in the garden, work was a part of their lives. We see that as you read in Genesis. And the Bible says that those who are lazy and choose to sleep instead of working will come to ruin. We see that in Proverbs chapter 6. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, God says that those who do not work will not eat. So, as we've seen, where are we going here? God isn't against work. But he's against work consuming our lives. That's what God is against. He's against us escaping into work so that we don't have to face life. And some people do that. They just dig into work and work so hard and do all these things so they don't have to deal with the things that they're facing in life. God's against us finding our significance and our self-worth from our work. Saying, this is who I am. My job, my title, those kind of things. God's against us fulfilling our lives so full of work that we don't have any time for him or for other people. He didn't want it for them, and he doesn't want it for us. He doesn't want us to think that this is what life's all about, just work, work, work. And so he told the Israelites that just as he put a limit on the amount of work that he was going to do before he stepped back to evaluate it and to rest, so they needed to stop and take time from their work and rest on a regular basis. That's what they were to do. And I think as you look at the Ten Commandments, all of them as a whole, of the Ten Commandments, I think this one right here is the one that's taken most lightly by us. We don't really think about it too much. You look at the other commandments, things like you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery. This one seems rather harmless, doesn't it, compared to the rest? It's kind of mild. But don't forget, we're not in the 10 suggestions here. We're in the 10 commandments. And many of us think to ourselves, you know, maybe it'd be a good idea if I tried the Sabbath. That might be something I might want to think about. Maybe I'll try it someday. But what if we treated the other commandments like that one? Well, maybe it'd be a good idea if I don't kill anybody today. I'll have to think about that one. Well, this is a commandment, and we treat this commandment as if it's optional for us, but it isn't. And God is saying, I want you to keep this commandment. In Exodus chapter 20, and we'll see that a little bit more of this verse, it tells us to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And the problem that we have when we encounter God's commands is, one, we're rebellious, and two, we're religious. And so in our rebellion, what we want to do is we want to ignore God's commands and be our own God, come up with our own things, of ways of doing things, and our own laws for ourselves. And then in religion, what we do is we try to complicate God's commands. We make them harder than they actually are. And so our temptation is to rebel against them or to obscure the commandments. Today, though, our temptation isn't so much a religious temptation when it comes to this command, but in Jesus' day, that was the temptation. And the problem then was the Sabbath was really expanded way beyond it was ever intended to be. And so religious people make rules to make God stricter than he actually is, and they make God stricter about what he commands and what he permits. And then they want to judge everybody around them by all these extra commands. And they're upset with people who don't keep these extra rules. This is what's happening in Jesus' day. And so they turn the joy and the nourishment of the Sabbath into a burden and a drain for people. And so they took this commandment here and they added 39 specific categories and thousands of rules on top of all this in those 39 categories with this commandment to keep it holy, of what they weren't to do on the Sabbath day. These things were not in the Bible, but they just added all of these things. And this is where they were getting stricter than God about what he commands here. One of the things that they added that you couldn't do on the Sabbath day is you couldn't sew more than one stitch. You could sew one, but not two. One okay, two sin. That's what they said. You couldn't write more than one letter. I'm not talking to write a whole letter to somebody. I'm talking about one letter, like A. You can only write one on the Sabbath, no more. If you broke a bone in your body, you weren't allowed to set that bone to the next day. If a building collapsed on the Sabbath, you were able to clear the rubble to get the survivors out, but if anyone passed away under that, they were to be left there to the next day. You couldn't take them out. These were some of the add-on rules. And what we find when we read the Gospels and we look at Jesus' life, and we find this one period in that time where Jesus' disciples are breaking the harvesting rule on the Sabbath. They were eating grain on the Sabbath day. And as Jesus often did, what he did was he restored God's commands to what they were supposed to be in their proper context. And he does that here in Mark chapter 2. And it says, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people and not the people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. This is what Jesus said. And so when we look at the Sabbath, it's not a burden that's placed on us, but it's a blessing for us. It isn't the master that rules us, but it's a servant to give us rest. It isn't a command for a rule, but it's a command for a relationship with God. The Sabbath was made for us to find some things, to find rest and to find a closer relationship with God. That's what it was for. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, it says, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. In repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. Do you feel like you're tired all the time? For some of us, the reason is maybe you're working just too hard. You need to get some sleep. You need to learn how to relax and slow down a little bit. But for others of us, the problem is that you're fighting with God over something. And let me just tell you something here this morning. God has a lot more energy than you do or I do. He isn't going to get tired. We will, right? We have a limited supply of energy. God does not. So stop fighting against God. Let him have his way and find the rest for your soul that you need. So if we're called to have the Sabbath, it's for us. What does the Sabbath actually do for us? Well, we see that the Sabbath actually prevents burnout. And you can see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus not only kept the Sabbath, but Jesus had the Sabbath principles in his life, in his daily life. And you see this in one instance in the Bible where this whole town is at the door of Jesus and he'd been ministering to them late into the evening and they're looking for him. And in Mark chapter 1, it tells us, verse 35, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him, and when they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. See, Jesus is trying to pull back. He's trying to get alone with the Father and pray and to hear from the Father, but the people just kept coming. They didn't stop. And this can happen to us all the time. Sometimes it could be your kids. Sometimes it could be your work. Sometimes it could be family and friends or just whatever it is, right? There's just things always at our door looking for us. It's always pressing down, wanting us to focus on it. And it distracts us from God. Jesus knew this, so he got up early in the morning and he got away to pray. Find time to be with the Father. And you see that Jesus constantly, he was pulling back in his ministry, trying to get some alone time with the Father. Why? Because he knew that this was the key to being renewed physically, spiritually, socially, and emotionally. That's what the Sabbath does for us. It renews us physically, spiritually, socially, and emotionally. See, the Sabbath was made for us because it's about helping us be renewed. It's helping us to be ready to handle all of the life's demands that keep coming at our door and keeping us from being burnt out in life. It'll keep you from getting bitter. It'll keep you from looking at people as a threat to your life instead of the opportunity to love and serve them as God has called us to do. That's what it does. And we need this time of rest. The Sabbath reminds us that we aren't God. It's another thing that it does. It reminds us that we aren't God. In fact, the Sabbath has a way of dethroning us, taking us off the throne, right? Sabbath is God's way of reminding us of our humanness. The Sabbath humbles us. It humbles us by telling us that we don't have to have this endless energy, that we aren't invincible, that you aren't able to go on forever and ever without stopping in your own strength. The Sabbath is God's way to show us that we are not Him. It's God's way of dethroning us, but it's also God's way of dignifying us. And we have to understand this as well. It's God showing us what we are, who we are. When you Sabbath, you're ceasing from what is duty in your life. And this isn't to say that you ignore some of the responsibilities that have to be done on that day. What it says is that there are things that you don't have to do. If you don't have to do them, then don't do it. I think we all have those kind of things in our lives. And we could stop for one day that we don't have to do them. Let's not do them for one day and rest in God. It could be things like the laundry. If you don't have to do it that day, wait till the next day. If you don't have to do the yard work that day, wait. It's the day that you don't do anything that's not absolutely urgent. And so what you do on the Sabbath, I think that was the one I was supposed to be on, is you engage the things that brings you life and gives you joy. That sounds good though, right? This is something that we are to do on the Sabbath day. It's to engage in those things that bring us life and give us joy. This means that the Sabbath day is about play too. The Sabbath is about good food and good drink. The Sabbath is about family and friends. The Sabbath is even about being out in nature and going out and enjoying what God has created. It's about certain things, you know, like the Sabbath isn't just don't do things, but it's also about being active. And when you're active and you are engaging the Sabbath, you're tapping into your dignity as a human being who is made in the image of God. That the God of the universe gives you permission to rest, to not produce that day, but just to enjoy. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, I'm not sure where that one is. I think I really messed up my slides this week. I'm sorry about that. But Exodus 20, verse 11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." And I think it's easier for us to understand Exodus 20, 11 if we have kids. Okay, if you have kids, sometimes you have to give an example of rest to your kids so that they can see what it is. Because if you don't, they're going to be just going all day long, all the time. Sometimes we may not have to or need to rest during that day, but we take that rest as an example to show them what rest really is. Here, Exodus 20, verse 11, he's speaking back of Genesis chapter 1 and 2 in the creation, right? This is what God is doing for us. The Sabbath is rooted in God's rest. God didn't rest because he was tired, but because he was showing us a principle, something that we need in our lives. And so God worked for 6 days. He worked hard for 6 days. He was creating the world, and it's incredibly awesome and amazing, right? We have this world. And then on the seventh day after he created for 6 days, he sat down and rested. Then on the eighth day, from then on, he's been ruling. This is what he did for us. And so when we take a Sabbath, we're confessing and acknowledging that God is the one who rules and reigns over his creation because he first rested. He first stopped. And so we're acknowledging that he is the source of everything, that he is the sustainer of all things. And when we participate in Sabbath principles, we're able to just tap into that reality there. When you really begin to practice the Sabbath in the way God would have us to, you're going to find that these Sabbath principles just get into your life. And then you have these Sabbath-imposed questions that come into your life. And these questions are questions that are from God. And God will say to us, will you trust me for one day? Do you really think that I will let you collapse? Do you really think that your life will collapse if you just pull back for one day? Do you believe that the whole world is on your shoulders? These are the questions that God will ask us when we begin to really Sabbath and when we really slow down. What the Sabbath does, it reminds us that we are not God. The Sabbath also leads us to worship. Man. Exodus 20, verse 10. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And so many people think, okay, well, the Sabbath, that's just a day off. That's all that it is. I just get to take a day off and I just relax. Well, actually, the Sabbath is a day of worship. It says here that the Sabbath is a day that is of rest, that is dedicated to God. It's a Sabbath is about rest, but it's also about remembrance, remembering. And so the Sabbath, when we take the, oh man, this thing is going all over the place for me this morning. So the Sabbath is about remembering God by forgetting our life for a day. Like, so we're just taking a time of putting things aside. And so we focus on God during the Sabbath. That's what it's about. On the Sabbath, we give attention to God in a more focused and practical way than we could any other day in the week because we're slowing down, we're stopping a little bit. It says, for 6 days, I was distracted by the things that I did this week in my life. But this day, this Sabbath day is different. This day is a focus day. The Sabbath quiets our hearts so that we can receive from God and what he wants to say to us. Mark Buchanan wrote about the Sabbath day, and he said this. He said, some knowing is never pursued, it's only received. And some things we can only know and learn if we're not pursuing them, but we're receiving them. Does that make sense? Like, you just can't make it happen in your life. You can't just go after it and learn it. You have to pull back and just receive it. Sometimes you just have to be in that place where you're quiet and then it comes to you. You ever had that moment in your life? You're just kind of sitting there, nothing's happening, and you just hear. It comes to you. You either think about it or God places it in your mind, whatever it is. But Sabbath is a time to receive from God, to hear from him. And so the goal on the Sabbath is not just to take a Sabbath day, but the goal is to have a Sabbath heart. That's the goal, where we have this heart of rest. Not just a day of rest, but a heart of rest. That's what we want. Not just a day of focus, but a heart of focus in our lives. The Sabbath is rest and engagement. The Sabbath melts all of the hurry off of us that would enable us so that we could just be quiet in that moment and to hear from God. It's a place that we can find peace and we're able to receive all that God has for us. That's what the Sabbath is about. And if you aren't quiet, if there is too much noise going on in your life, you are not going to know God that well. Just won't be that easy. You may know a lot about God. You may know some principles about God. You may know some verses, but you are not going to be able to know God in the depths of your being. And let me tell you, when things get hard, when things don't make sense in life, that's when we need to go know God in the depths of our being, knowing that He is there, He is with us, He's not abandoned us, He's working in our situation. And so we need these moments of quiet so that we can know God in the depths of our being. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." The Sabbath helps us worship. Helps us worship. Sabbath reminds us of the gospel. You go back to the beginning of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1, it says, "And that God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Remember that deliverance for them out of slavery came before God gave them the Ten Commandments. God says to them, "Hey, you know what? I rescued you. Now I'm calling you to obey me. It isn't about your performance. You did nothing to get yourself out of slavery. I did that for you. But it's about a relationship that I want with you. And so if you obey these things, this is how you will be able to have a relationship with me." And through the Sabbath, God is reminding us about this simple principle. I have saved you, and now here is a commandment that will help you remember that I saved you. That you rest and you worship and you connect with me, you slow down a little bit. And then you remember, this is what will help you remember that I saved you. It reminds us that it isn't our work that delivered us, but it's God's work that did it. I'm resting in God's work, not my work. I'm thinking about what God has done and not what I do. And the Bible isn't about us and what we do for God, right? The Bible is about God and what God has done for us. And so when we Sabbath, we're saying, this isn't my work that counts, but it's Jesus' work that counts. I am totally and fully loved apart from my work and my performance. Doesn't mean that we don't have things to do, that God doesn't call us to a life of holiness, but that before any of that, Jesus did the work for us. And it's by His work we're saved. And so the Sabbath points us to that rest that we have for those of us who have ceased being our own Savior. Jesus is ultimately our Sabbath and our rest from trying to earn our way to God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God." The Bible tells us that Jesus will return to earth and that He will bring the ultimate Sabbath. He will come and He will bring a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible tells us that the heaven or this new heaven or this new Jerusalem is coming down to earth. And when we Sabbath, when we take a Sabbath day, it is actually a rehearsal of that coming rest someday in the future. When we practice the Sabbath in a broken world, we're rehearsing and reminding ourselves, and we're also reminding the people around us, the world, that one day Jesus is coming back. Jesus is going to heal all that is ruined and raise up all that has fallen and restore all that is broken. And maybe one of the reasons that we don't bask in the glory that is ours and that we try to relate to God with our own good works and our own good lives is because we don't know or we don't live in that reality of the Sabbath. It's because we don't practice it. The Sabbath reminds us about the truth of the gospel and what Jesus has done for us. I can rest from my work on a day because my significance and my meaning doesn't come from what I do. I don't have to frantically go from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. I don't have to prove anything. God isn't impressed with my work, but because of Jesus' work, I can relax in Sabbath. He's taken care of it. And so the Sabbath is a command, but it's also a principle. What we see in Jesus' life isn't just a Sabbath, but it's a Sabbath life. It was a part of his life and how he lived. And it seemed like it was his routine to get up early in the morning, not because he hated sleep, but so that he could get away from people a little bit and he could pray and hear from the Father. And you see him all the time, that whenever he can get a chance, he's pulling away to get alone with the Father. And so if you're taking a day or even part of a day for a Sabbath, what do you do? Well, this is the time to really read the Bible and pray on your Sabbath day. You made time to come and meet with God and hear from God in prayer and reading of the Word. In that time, you can go after those things that are distracting you, right? For many, one of the things that are distracting us is all of the screens we have in front of us, whether it's our phone, our tablet, it could be even a TV screen, it could be all sorts of things. We have these screens all over the place, and they're always demanding our time. And some of us need to pull away from those on the Sabbath day so that we can be with God, because those things are so easily pulling us from our time with him. Also, practice slowing down. Don't be in a hurry to get somewhere. I've said this before, right? Like get in the long line at Costco and just don't even pull your phone out. Just hang out there and just learn to slow down. Get yourself in the habit of slowing down so that when you Sabbath, it's already become a principle in your life so that you can have that time from God, with God. Do things that slow you down. Also, find time to celebrate. Like, find things, you know. This is like what God did. God did this in my life. And then he acts. Like, we see this even in God's life, right? You can go back to Genesis chapter 1. Like, God acts, and then he steps back, and he celebrates what has been done. He created, and then he steps back, and he sees that it is good. We need to do that, and we need to celebrate in our lives. What has God been doing in your life? What has God done in the past? Let's celebrate those things. And if you don't choose to Sabbath, the Sabbath will choose you. That's what happens. If you don't choose the Sabbath will choose you. Like illness, burnout, relational brokenness. If you choose not to do the Sabbath, it will choose you. And so we need to choose it first. Will you surrender? Will you choose to surrender to God in your weariness? Or will you just keep on fighting? Are you going to realize that your work is never going to get done, that there's always going to be work there? Some people say that they'll rest when the work gets done. Well, think about it like dishes, right? There's always dishes in the sink. You just did the dishes, and somehow there's more dishes in the sink, right? That's what work's like. And so we just got to take some time to say, I'm going to choose to slow down. But if you're not choosing that, if that is you this morning, then you'll never rest because the work will never get done. It'll always be there. And the way that you can, that we can just leave work undone is to realize that God worked and then God rested. That he stopped and he rested. And as we enter into the rest of God, which means our trusting in Jesus as one who worked for us so that we don't have to work for God, and then he rested in his finished work, that's called the resurrection, right? His death and resurrection, that's the finished work. It is finished. As we enter into that rest from death to life, we will rest. We will learn to rest. And that's what we want to be. We want to be a people who have this Sabbath heart. It's what God is calling us to, not just nudging us, but he's saying, this is my command for you, for me, to have this Sabbath principles in our lives. Would you bow your heads this morning? Like I said, today is the Pentecost Sunday. What was available to them that Sunday or that day is available to us. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit where they spoke in tongues and they were empowered to share the good news of Jesus. It's available to us. And we can walk in that power to be people who are empowered to share the good news of Jesus with those around us. God uses us, God speaks to us so much more clearly when we can slow down, pull away a little bit, and hear from Him. And if you haven't been resting well, if you haven't been Sabbathing, I want to challenge you to just begin to put these principles into your life, to find a day of rest. That's why Sunday is such a great day, because we can have it as a focus day to worship together, and then we can rest. But if that's you and you've been struggling with it, I want you to just begin to pray to God and ask Him to help you with that in your life, to have that Sabbath heart, so that you can rest in Him knowing that He is with you, so that we can go forth the rest of the days of the week working hard. Some of us don't rest well because we're not working hard. We're not really doing anything. We may do a little bit of work here and there, but God has called us that when it's time to work, that we work hard and do what we're called to do, and then we can rest. We'll find that peace there. So if that's you, would you just begin to pray for that for you this morning, that you would just really learn the principle of what God has for you in rest? And also, if you want to just ask God for that just empowerment of the filling of the Holy Spirit, you can be praying for that today. This is a great day to remember that, because God wants to fill you so that you can be a witness for Him. Would you take this in prayer right now, and we'll close here in just a moment.